Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy, crazy world? So welcome to the 522nd edition of SDG, Crisis Update number 35. And then after we share all the forbidden news that the fake media will tell you, we're going to tie it all into the root of all evil. Folks, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So stay tuned to learn how we can keep the faith and avoid many, many sorrows. But bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, what are we doing, folks? We're just passing through, amen? So let's refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity, and stay tuned to find out the latest news that the mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which, like I say every week, how did they start? Remember, folks, how did these things all start? Well, didn't they start with that lab-engineered, media-manipulated coronavirus heist? Now, as we do every week, folks, we're going to recall something from a past episode. And, you know, over the past several weeks, I've been talking a lot about mind control in America, mass psychosis, and we've even covered Dr. Mirlu's rape of the mind and his concept of what's known as menticide. So now the question each and every one of us ought to be asking ourselves, are you thinking critically in these stage crisis moments? Are we merely controlled and compliant sheep being led to the slaughter? Are you keeping the faith and avoiding the many, many sorrows of this world? Or have you become a mere victim of fear? Now, I've alluded to this truth many times over the years, and I've been doing this podcast for quite some time now. And before that, the one, well, actually, I was doing this one the whole time along with John Seitzinger on Tribulation Now. And by the way, please pray for John. It appears that he's having a meltdown. I stumbled on one of his shows from last Wednesday night. He had no hosts. Nancy, his producer, is offline for some reason, and he's having a meltdown, folks. So pray for him. But anyways, the truth is that the love of money is literally the root of all evil. And let me repeat that. The love of money is the root of all evil. I can't say that any clearer than that, folks. I can't say it any clearer. So let's listen to the next part of Stephen Jacobson's classic. And this is Wake Up America. It's the third 5-minute clip. It's going to tell you a little bit about what money is and what money isn't, and the great deception that's upon the minds of so many in America today. And folks, I'm telling you, until we fix this one problem, none of this other stuff is going to be fixed. We cannot allow this to continue. So listen to this from Stephen Jacobson.
All of America's economic problems originate with the practice of issuing fraudulent receipts for gold that does not exist. This practice became standard operating procedure for the banking establishment. The modern-day counterpart to the warehouse receipt for gold is the Federal Reserve note. Remember, the essence of psychological warfare is to confuse the meaning of words. The word federal implies federal government, but the Federal Reserve is a privately owned corporation. The word reserve implies there is something to give the paper receipt value, but no gold or silver backs this paper. The word note implies a contract, because a note, by law, must identify who is paying, what is being paid, to whom, and when. Between 1914 and 1963, Federal Reserve notes never claimed to be money, nor did they claim to be dollars. A note for $5 read as follows.
The United States of America will pay to the bearer on demand $5.
Can a promise to pay $5 be $5? To the left of the president's picture and above the bank seal, it said,
this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, and is redeemable in lawful money at the United States Treasury or at any Federal Reserve Bank.
In 1963, soon after the assassination of President Kennedy, the Fed began to issue its first series of notes without the promise, while taking notes with the promise out of circulation. Can paper become what it promises by removing the promise? To the left of the president's picture and above the bank seal, it now read,
this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private.
A note is an IOU. It is evidence of debt. It is not possible to pay off a debt with a debt. No debt can be paid in full unless paid in gold or silver, coined and regulated in value by Congress. The name Federal Reserve Note is a fraudulent label, since each word claims to be something that in reality it is not. By removing the promise to redeem the note in lawful money, the federal government, in cooperation with the Federal Reserve, eliminated the monetary system of the United States as established by the Constitution and replaced it with something totally different. On page 12 of Keeping Our Money Healthy, published by the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, it states,
the Federal Reserve System works only with credit.
Credit is not a tangible substance like gold or silver coin. You cannot touch it, nor can you weigh or measure it in dollars like gold or silver coin. Credit exists only in the mind. And it is necessary to control minds to induce the public to accept pieces of paper with numbers on them in place of lawful money. If you are holding a $5 Federal Reserve note, the question you need to ask yourself is, what is it $5 of? The answer is, absolutely nothing. The number five measures no substance. The only thing that gives paper money value is the confidence people have in it. It is entirely psychological.
And that, folks, is an example of Dr. Mirlo's menticide. When you can take an entire culture and make them believe something that isn't true, like they've done with our money system, and now they've done so well with this invisible enemy, the China virus, as President Trump called it. You know, we've created a monster that no one can see, no one can hear, no one can touch or taste or smell, yet it has more power over this world right now than a legitimate fear of God has. You know, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if we would do that, folks, and I don't mean some kind of trembling, you know, eyes in the fire type of fear. No, I'm talking about love on our knees. When we have the fear of God, we fear nothing else. But I don't want to digress right now. Remember last week, we also heard the fraud Fauci and his face mask flip-flop. Let's listen to that again. I find it so humorous in the midst of all this craziness right now.
People should not be walking around with masks.
Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater.
Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better.
And masks are protective. And we
but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
Are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci?
Put this right, like as he did, right underneath, and try and keep it, that feels pretty tight right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can just breathe naturally. Let's just see what happens.
Well, folks, that part I cut off was where Del Bigtree was working with a technologist, and they were monitoring the CO2 buildup in the mask, but that wasn't my point of playing that clip. I wanted you to see Mr. Science himself, the fraud Fauci flip-flop on whether you wear a face mask or not. Folks, it's a talisman. It's a sign of fear, and it's part of the entire mask psychosis. Now, I stumbled upon this article this week from Kunstler.com. It's got a profanity in the URL, so I'm not going to read it, but it's basically cluster blank nation and then everything happens at once. Okay, so you put two and two together. And Kunstler is a very deep thinker, and he opens with this question or comment. This is a very nervous country, and for a very good reason. There's this collective sense of reality, as Kunstler called it. The spirit of the age is actually what it is, Zeitgeist. And it's begun a momentous shift. The meme of this culture is shifting. Our moral compass is spinning wildly, okay? Once solid things in our culture, they're shaking loose in our national psyche. And the fake news gaslight on the scandemic, well, it's losing its sheen. And the once solid narrative that they had is turning to vapor as the riddles of COVID-19 are, like, there in your face. Folks are beginning to pay attention, and they're seeing the numbers just don't add up, starting with the fact that when you combine the official registered COVID cases, you know, people with the acquired natural immunity, which now people are denying is even real, and if you look on Twitter, the hashtag natural immunity has been banned. Now, people have always had natural immunities. That's what God created us with. So the number of people vaccinated in the population in general, in terms of those who have had it, if you look at the actual quote-unquote statistics of the millions of people that supposedly had the invisible enemy, we should be way beyond what's known as natural herd immunity. Are you seeing my point? Is this starting to, like, churn in your mind with the number of people vaccinated, yet we see all of this? Well, the truth is most of the people getting sick now are the vaxxed. So is Dr. Fauci desperate, or is he just plain crazy? No, I say he's pure evil. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And that fraud Fauci loves his money, folks. You know, he's a major shareholder and some of these biotech companies and the big pharma who's making all the money right now. But the question may be moot because it looks like he's running out of room and time right now on this whole crusade. You know, the whole COVID-19 narrative, the vaxes. And how about this? His authoritative I am science. There's this clip I have of Fauci, and I called it Psy Truth. Just listen to this. It's 53 seconds. Now, if you're a regular listener, you've heard it. But for all you new listeners, and we're getting new listeners every week, and thank you for spending the time with me. And I hope you go out and share it far and wide, and let's wake America up, folks. Listen to Fauci basically say he is science, and if you disagree with him, you disagree with science.
As attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about consistently from the very beginning have been fundamentally based on science. Sometimes those things were inconvenient truths for people, and there was pushback against me. So if you are trying to, you know, get at me as a public health official and a scientist, you're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science. And anybody that looks at what's going on clearly sees that. You have to be asleep not to see that. That is what's going on. Science and the truth are being attacked. As attacks on me, quite frankly, are attacks on science. Because all of the things that I have spoken about.
Okay, that's enough of you fraud, Fauci. You know, when he was saying that, I am science, reminded me of that line from Atlas Shrugged, where the question is asked, who is John Galt? And then everybody says, I am John Galt. Well, guess what, Dr. Fauci? I am science, too. I'm an accomplished scientist. I have 20 domestic and international patents in my field. I've developed unique process technologies and products that are known by some of the biggest companies in the world, like Lockheed Martin, Boeing, some of the biggest power generation producers in the world, like ABB and Westinghouse and Siemens, Emerson Electronics. Folks, I can make that same claim the fraud Fauci has, but I'd never do it because science is a discipline. Science is a very structured and limited methodology to understand nature. But I don't want to get off on that. Folks, his scamdemic story is falling apart because he's corrupted science and he's turned towards the religion known as scientism. Now, it looks awful for him and a lot like the government's trying to harm people health-wise right now while it destroys jobs, small businesses, and ruins people's finances across this country. And the truth is, that they're trying to suppress the counter story, which is spreading faster right now than COVID-19. In fact, just yesterday, folks, Terry and I were out celebrating our 33rd anniversary, and it's exciting. You know, we've been married for 33 years, and, you know, Terry and I dated for 7 years before that. And I don't know, on very fast, and it's exciting to think that the best years are yet to come, as everybody says. But anyways, yesterday we were out. I took the day off, and we were at Terry's booth at a local antique mall. And we bumped into one of the regulars, the cornerstones of that antique mall. Her name, I'm not going to say it because I didn't ask her if I could talk. Let's just call her D for right now. Now, we've known D for several years. And like I said, she's a landmark at the shop. An icon of sorts. She's got the best and some of the most eye-catching displays in the entire mall. And I had thought she was a liberal, so I was nice to her, and I never really got into any kind of talks with her. And then I found out yesterday that she's been recently red-pilled. And yes, she voted for Biden. She admitted it, and then she discovered and fell in love with Stu Peters. And who doesn't love Stu Peters? And now she's in love with the truth. And like I said, she's been red-pilled to all this BS, not even the, not only the scamdemic, but now 9/11 and the stolen election, just to name a few. So I'd say it's fair to ask whether all this that we've been talking about has destroyed the legitimacy of this Biden regime. who are pretending to be in charge. Folks, did you hear what just came out yesterday about the election audit in Arizona? Now, I love how the mainstream fake news has presented it. You know, this audit was very fair. They admitted they actually found about 300 more votes for Biden in Maricopa County. But there's over 100,000 be counted. Over 100,000. That's what everybody in the fake news failed to mention. So it's kind of like Pravda right now. They spin the truth. So has the legitimacy of this regime been compromised? Folks, it's not even that China attacked America with COVID-19, which is coming out also. It's been proven by Drastic and many other groups out there that this is, in fact, lab engineered. Remember all the work that Rand Paul's doing right now with the Freedom of Information Act requests and all the emails from Fauci to Drozak and some of the others in the EcoHealth Alliance. This thing is lab engineered, like I've been saying from the beginning. But the real story is that America built the weapon. You know, it was outlawed here by President Trump, so they sent the research over to Wuhan. And they laundered it through China with Fauci's NIH funding. In fact, it continued last year, 2020. And the MERS virus, which is the three orders of magnitude and more deadly, is what's coming next. And the U.S. government deployed the weapons against its own people. You know, the enemy isn't just China, folks. It's the criminals in charge in our deep state swamp. Rogue elements of our illegitimate government. It's run by crooks and fraudsters and anti-human genocidal maniacs, you know. Oh, and don't forget the Satan worshipers, okay? But, you know, I have to keep moving. Because now, as I look at the clock, I have to tell you, it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky News Update. And as always, folks, we start with the coronavirus heist.
It's a scandemic. They call it the great equalizer. And say we're all in this together, except that for the bankers, politicians, and powers to be. And folks, that ain't either you or me. So let's all wake up to the coronavirus heist and just say they know all their lies and minds control.
Okay, Kenny, that's enough. Hey, folks, that's the one rap video I did, and I shared it with, actually, I just replied to Sherry Tenpenny, and then that video went viral on Twitter. But that's history, folks, and then I got dethrottled by Twitter. But anyways, did you hear this one, folks? France's longtime vaccine policy chief came out and said that COVID policy is completely stupid and unethical. Can you believe that? Is the top doctor in France, the COVID chief, so to speak. He was the University of, got to get this right. He was the University of Raymond Pont de Care Hospital in Garches, a teaching university, a division of the University of Versailles near Paris. He was the head of their Department of Infectious and Tropical Diseases from 1994 onward. He was the fellow of France's Biomedical Research Center and the Institut Pasteur, which he graduated from with a degree in bacteriology and virology, and he served as the deputy director of the National Reference Center for Tuberculosis and Mycobacteria until 1998. Now, he was recently fired from his positions because of his stand he's taken against all this bad science. And listen to this 4-minute and 45-second clip where Dr. Perron is being interviewed, and he basically lays it all out on the line and tells you that calling a vaccine isn't even a vaccine.
Okay. Thank you very much for that, Anne-Marie. And Professor Perron, welcome to the UK column. It's wonderful to have you with us this evening. I'd just ask that you also tell us a little bit about yourself, your professional background, and also understand that since you have spoken out contrary to some of the official government policy around COVID-19 and vaccinations, you've been, I'm going to use the word censured, you've been prevented from speaking out. So welcome.
Thank you very much for your invitation. So I'm Professor Christian Perron. I'm working in a university hospital near Paris with the University of Versailles. I was the chief of the Department of Infectious Diseases since the end of 1994, but I was fired from this position a few months ago because of my public statements. I embarrass our government because I was working for the different governments from the right or the left wing of the political area. During 15 years, I was the chairman of many commissions at the High Council for Public Health, which counseled the government for public health policy and vaccination policy. I was also the vice president of the group of experts at WHO for the European region of WHO. So I was involved in the management of several epidemics and also pandemics with different governments. And when I saw how the epidemic was managed since February, March 2020, I was amazed. I saw that it was completely crazy. That's why I spoke out in the media, but now I'm censured in the media, so.
Right, okay. Well, this really brings us to the crux of the matter. Now, I think it's important that we say to the audience in the first place, neither yourself nor Anne-Marie Yim are anti-vaccine. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about your position on that?
I'm not anti-vaccine because I made the vaccination policy for France during many years. But the problem is that the products they call vaccine for COVID-19 are not really vaccines. That's my problem.
Okay, and can we just press a little bit further? If they're not vaccines, what would you call them?
It may be genetic modifiers. I don't know exactly the good term on the scientific point of view, but when you inject messenger RNA to produce a huge amount of spike proteins, a fragment of the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 virus, you don't control the process. And the problem is that in human cells, we know that RNA may go back to DNA. Normally, it's from DNA to RNA, so a little bit, maybe a little bit difficult to understand for a general audience, but it may go in the reverse way because we have in our chromosomes, in our genome, genes in our DNA coming from retroviruses for millions of centuries. They are animal origin and they can code for enzymes which can code in the reverse side. So we know now, it is officially published, that now we find in the human genome sequences of DNA corresponding to the RNA of the virus. So it's the proof. What I said in December in a public letter, saying that it was dangerous to inject these products, now it's confirmed. But all the governments continue. It's a great mistake.
Okay.
So there you heard it from Dr. Perron, France's longtime vaccination policy chief. The go-to guy in France concerning vaccinations. And what did he just say? The vaccine for COVID-19 is not a vaccine. These so-called vaccines are actually genetic modifiers used to produce the actual pathogen in people's bodies. Now, the whole concept of vaccines was based upon taking a denatured or weakened strain of the virus, put it in your body and allow the body to create antibodies. But this genetic technology is actually putting the code into your body to produce the actual pathogen so that your body can produce antibodies. What's wrong with this? What's wrong with this logic? It's an uncontrollable process that's going to create the very pathogen in your body that we're trying to stop. This is evil. This is wicked. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Then I stumbled upon this article from The Guardian. It was titled, Dangerous Transmissions, Anti-Vax Radio Shows Reach Millions in the U.S. While Stars Die of COVID. Boy, what a title, huh? So The Guardian goes out and talks about Phil Valentine. He's a, or I should say was, a prominent right-wing talk show radio host from Tennessee. And he actually produced a song called Vax Man. And he has this anti-COVID vaccination policy or message. And he made his little song based on the Beatles track from The Taxman. And then there's Mark Grenier, a host from Daytona Beach, Florida. He was declaring himself Mr. Anti-Vax. And Dick Farrell from Florida, urging his listeners not to get vaccinated. And there was Jimmy DeYoung asking on air whether the vaccine could be a form of government control of the people. So all four of these folks are out there speaking against this non-vaccine, and they all died of coronavirus in August. And then there was a fifth conservative host, Bob Enyart. He died on September 13th, weeks after he told his listeners to boycott vaccines because they were immorally developed, which they were. And let's not forget ex-CIA, Dill, who's been out there on the Freedom Tour. And then there's my friend John Scott McKay. He got sick at one of the Freedom events, and his dad, the general, actually died. God rest his soul. Now, the death of these seven men, just weeks apart, ought to be raising eyebrows. And there have been countless people, Mike Adams, Sherry Tenpenny, and many others, who have been getting sick at these health freedom events and some of these other events. Now, the brain-dead victims of the mass psychosis, the menticide of Dr. Mirlo, they'd say, well, this illustrates both the depth of the anti-vaccine feelings from conservatives, and it also hints to these problems from right-wing talk radio. We ought to take them off the air. The conservative media, they're causing this problem because vaccination rates have slowed. And as Biden says, it's a pandemic of the unvaxxed. You know, our imposter in chief is pushing this narrative. But those of us who are aware, those of us who have been red-pilled, like so many who listen to this show, and now our friend from the antique mall, D, we all know better. Now, the convictions that we hold can be further validated by some of these stories I'm going to share with you right now. There's this one article that Mike Adams picked up on from a video that was out on his platform, Brighteon.com. It was out on Chad Chaddington's page. And Mike picked up with this or on this, and he talked about the biowarfare battlefield, CDC, DOD running black ops missions to release pathogens across America, specifically targeting health freedom advocates. Now, Chad Chaddington talked about this bizarre case that goes back to 2018 when a man and his wife were on a secret mission involving the virus when they were arrested. Now, his man is named Francho Bradley, and his company is Encima Engineering. And there's an article over on Heavy.com titled Francho Bradley and Encima Engineering, Five Fast Facts. Now, what I'd like to do right now is play a 5 minute and 29 second clip from Chad Chaddington talking about this article. And please follow along here because it even gets deeper.
All right, everybody. It is Tuesday, September 14th. I hope you're doing well. I wanted to make this video. It's not a new article. It's something that happened in 2018, but I thought it was very interesting, and it might have flown under the radar of a lot of people. Now, I remember when this first came out, but I didn't pay any particular attention to it because I didn't have a reason to. It was just a weird story, but it kind of just got buried underneath all the other headlines. Now, in 2018, a man and his wife, they were allegedly on a secret mission for a secret government agency fighting a virus, and they were arrested in their hotel room with an arsenal of weapons and a bunch of other stuff. And the story was just super weird, and the more you read into it, the weirder it gets. And it reminds me of this story. If you remember Jeffrey Allen Lash, there was this guy. He was found in California outside of, I think, his house in a neighborhood. He had like 1,200 guns. He had like 2 tons of ammo. He claimed to be an alien hybrid that was basically on a mission for intelligence agencies. And it was just very weird and never got explained away. And it just reminds me of that case. But this right here, it's called Ensema Engineering and Franco Bradley, Five Fast Facts You Need to Know. Franco Bradley, 59, and Adrian Jennings, 40, were arrested in Tewksbury, Massachusetts with a large cache of weapons, including large-capacity guns, a grenade launcher, and a silencer. Bradley told police that he was on a secret mission, and he owns a company called Ensema Engineering, but he didn't want to elaborate about what his company does. He said he was in the area working for a government agency that is, quote, dealing with a virus, the Lowell Sun reported. It appears that Ensema Engineering is a real business, and Franco Frank Bradley has actually worked on virus projects before with government agencies. Bradley and Jennings appeared in Lowell District Court for a dangerousness hearing, and Judge Stacy Fortes ordered that they continue to be held without bail at least until April 26, when they return to court for a probable cause hearing for the possession of their weapons, Boston Globe reported. They are being investigated by the Joint Terrorism Task Force and are being held without bail for up to 4 months, they reported. Neither entered a guilty plea. The couple first caught law enforcement attention when Bradley called the police because a surveillance camera he had attached to the door of his room at the Residence Inn had gone out. He had worried he had been burglarized and the perpetrator would take his gun. But when police arrived to check, they found several long guns wrapped in a flight suit sitting in the middle of the room. They called Bradley and asked for his consent to secure the firearms in the hotel room, which he gave. So very odd, right? It seems the guy's not necessarily scared of the cops finding the guns, almost as if he feels like he won't get arrested because he has the backing of whatever agency or group behind him, so he's not scared. But then also he's putting his own security cameras on the outside of the door, which is odd, right? Like that level of being involved and caring and surveillance, it's not just going to be your normal crazy person doing something like that, right? The items police found, according to the report, included a Texas license to carry but not a Massachusetts license, or a military or police ID, an AK-47, an AR-15 with a grenade launcher and silencer but no grenades, a .22 caliber rifle and silencer, two .308 caliber rifles with three loaded large-capacity magazines, a 9mm gun with two large-capacity magazines, a .45 caliber gun with two speed loaders, a shotgun, ammunition, and smoke grenades. The cache also included several military-style tactical vests with flashbangs, military-style smoke machines, tactical helmets, multiple cell phones, a DOD concealed carry badge, and 6 laptops. Both defendants have entered not guilty pleas. You can read the full police report here, including all the items that were found. And when you go to actually click that, it's not available, and the archive version is also not available. Here's what you need to know about Franco Frank Bradley's work and his company, Ensema Engineering. Ensema's website prominently displayed trademarks for the CDC, Department of Energy, Medical Countermeasures Systems, and CERN. So this is a screenshot, I guess, of his homepage right here. It says, Bradley owns the Ensema.us website whose About Us page proudly displays badges for a number of agencies, including the CDC, the Department of Energy, ITER, Medical Countermeasures Systems, CERN, and Soldier Sensors and Lasers. The website doesn't detail what work they do for these companies or if they work for them. The website's homepage focuses on offering engineering services and managed services. Under engineering services, it reads custom communication solutions for commercial companies and international organizations of any size. Ask our clients what made them choose Ensema, and you're likely to get many different answers. But one consistent theme, flexibility. Under managed service, it reads, we provide custom technology solutions and infrastructure for both individual and organizational requirements. To help maximize your company's performance, schedule a consultation appointment with one of our technical solution architects so that we can understand your personal and business needs. Overall, the website is a little vague on what exactly the company does. It talks about providing a solid foundation and operational strategy for business owners, cost-effective and practical turnkey technical solutions, and solutions that combine innovative thinking with proven technology. So a bunch of just fluffy words, it seems. Seems like a spook site, honestly. The web.
Yeah, I think that sums it up. It's a spook site, folks. And then some of the things that Mr. Bradley were carrying, like the firearms that aren't readily accessible to people like you and me, the grenade launchers, the call from the law enforcement authorities, whether they had permission from him to secure his firearms, like they were afraid of him. And then this week, folks, so we saw this from 2018. Just keep that in the back of your mind. Then this week, the research group Drastic, and I've looked into them, and there's a lot of very intelligent people there. In fact, I'm thinking about reaching out to them and seeing if I could lend them a hand. But this group Drastic releases this leaked document from DARPA. Now, I've worked with DARPA, folks. I've actually had programs with our company at DARPA, and DARPA does all the advanced stuff, like these robots you see that can tap dance and are going to be the soldiers of the future, and all sorts of advanced computer technology and wireless transmission of energy, like Tesla used to talk about, and all the Space Wars technology. So DARPA is the advanced research arm of the defense, put it that way, okay? And what Drastic released this week was a whistleblower document from DARPA, which basically said that they rejected funding of this technology to aerosolize spike proteins and release them by drone over target cities and target groups of people. Now, this was a juiced-up version of the spike protein, which had a skin-penetrating technology in it. Folks, you can't make this stuff up. It's out there. Now, I know that's possible. There's a very benign chemical in its own right, DMSO, which is very good at bringing other compounds along with it through the skin. Now, I know that you could create this into a form known as nano-emulsion technology. And I know that because we used it in my lab back in graduate school at the University of Pittsburgh. And we made these nanoparticles, these nano-emulsions, so small that they could Bragg diffract light like a prism. And we used sonic technology to do it. You know, those things that you take to the things the jewelers have. So you take your bracelet in, it's kind of dirty, and he puts it in that little thing and it makes that buzzing sound. Well, that's ultrasonic wave technology inside the solution, the cleaning solution, and it vibrates loose all the dirt particles. Well, you have these things called sonic probes that were developed for the labs to denature proteins. Well, we got one of these high-powered probes, and we actually nano-emulsified various polymers or precursors to polymers, the monomers that would then react to form a polymer, and we were able to create these ordered prisms on a nanoparticle scale back in the late 80s, early 90s, folks, at the University of Pittsburgh. So I know these technologies are out there, okay? And now there's this leaked document from DARPA, which DARPA is totally appalled with and doesn't want to have anything to do with it. And I believe that's the reason they said no. But the fraud Fauci and then his sidekick, Peter Drozdiak over at the EcoHealth Alliance, they said, hey, let's go for it. So they pick it up and they run with this technology. Now, remember what happened to all of those conservative talk show hosts that were getting sick and dying. And remember the events we had over New York City, Milan, Italy, and Wuhan, China, where people were dying left to right. Well, we had the 5G release at the same time, and you know, the ionizing radiation poisoning has the same symptoms as COVID-19. But then what if they juiced up COVID-19? What if they did a release over these cities? Because you have to apply common sense here, and think about this for a minute, folks. If people were dropping left and right in these three cities, how come they weren't dropping in Philadelphia? How come they weren't dropping in Boston? Pretty close to New York City. And run that same logic over near Milan and over in Wuhan, China. How come we had these quote-unquote hotspots, yet Dallas, Texas was fine? Makes you wonder, doesn't it, folks? So here's a clip from an interview that Dr. David Martin did with the attorney from Germany. His name's Reiner. And in this quote, and it's only a minute and 25 seconds long, Dr. Martin is quoting Dr. Peter Drazak from the EcoHealth Alliance, who's using this technology now that Drastic has uncovered, using it with Dr. Fauci. For what kind of end? Listen to this.
So for those who want to live in the illusion that somehow or another that's the end of the story, be prepared for a greater disappointment, because somebody knew something in 2015 and 2016, which gave rise to my favorite quote of this entire pandemic. And by that, I'm not being cute. My favorite quote of this pandemic was a statement made in 2015 by Peter Daszak. The statement that was made by Peter Daszak in 2015, reported in the National Academies of Press publication, February 12, 2016, and I'm quoting, "We need to increase public understanding of the need for medical countermeasures such as a pan-coronavirus vaccine. A key driver is the media, and the economics will follow the hype. We need to use that hype to our advantage to get to the real issues. Investors will respond if they see profit at the end of the process," end quote.
Oh, sorry, folks, I had my mask off. Did you hear that? The key driver will be the media, and investors will follow if they see the economic incentive. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And then there's this out from the Informed Consent Action Network. That's the nonprofit that Del Bigtree uses to fund his Highwire program. Well, they just report this week that the secret ingredient in the Pfizer vaccine remains secret, even after the FDA promised complete transparency in any COVID vaccine launch. So they quote-unquote approve it, although they played some trickery there. They didn't approve the COVID vaccine from Pfizer. They approved the COVID vaccine from Pfizer's partner. Now, this promise for total transparency should have included letting you know what's in that jab. Yet the FDA chose to hide from we the people who have been funding this, a key ingredient that makes up over 20% of the material in that jab. So the FDA disclosed portions of it, but they failed to disclose what 22% of that jab contains. And this is appalling when you think about it. So would you drink a drink that has nearly 25% of it unknown? Would you take a nutritional supplement that was unknown in terms of contents? Would you do that? I wouldn't do it. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
What?
Yeah, Paul, I'm telling you, it's crazy. Folks, these drug companies, Big Pharma, as they're euphemistically called by the media, they own the FDA. Remember we talked a few months back about the revolving door of people between these regulatory agencies and the management of Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna? Folks, these executives are merely the mid-level soldiers in this all-out war on humanity. They work for Bill Gates and the World Economic Forum and the big bankers, who all, in turn, work for Satan, also known as Lucifer. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Hey, how about this? Just this week, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky overrules the panel's recommendations for the booster shot, and she approves the COVID booster to align with what Joe Biden, our imposter in chief, wanted. So the CDC director went against the quote-unquote science. And remember, everybody says, trust the science. Well, why didn't CDC director Rochelle Walensky trust the science this week? You know, earlier she bowed to the teachers' unions, and now we've got children all across America in a form of tyranny as they're forced to wear face masks, yet they can go to ball games without it. They could go to concerts without it. They could do just about anything else, but now to go to school, you have to wear a face mask. And now, most recently, she's ignoring her esteemed panel of scientists who said the booster should be held off. The science indicates that there are issues with a booster. And what she did is she went to a line with Joe Biden, who wants it regardless of what the science says. So late Thursday night, she ignored science, overruling the recommendations of her scientists and approved Pfizer's COVID booster shot, giving Joe Biden vindication. You remember, he came out a few weeks before and talked about it. And what's behind it all? Money, folks. For the love of money is the root of all evil. But right now, we have to keep moving. It's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police report, the 2020 elections. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater in Japanese. Ka means salt. Boo means dance. Ki means steal from the verb. Kabu meaning to slant or to sway. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flatten the curve. The curve of the economy, stupid. Must slow down the velocity of money. Or it'll hyperinflate before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up and down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030. And the new world will just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
So that was a little clip from my second rap video I did called Kabuki Theater. And that is what else is going on out there. It's Kabuki Theater. It's the control of the masses. Now, speaking of money and money being the root of all evil, the pandemic has shown that Pfizer is obsessed with profits, not health. From commondreams.org, they did a piece back on... Oh, this is all the way back to April 23rd of this year. Big Pharma's obsession with maximizing profits, even during a deadly pandemic, is in keeping with a troubling industry record. Now, if you dig into Pfizer or any of these other big pharmas, they're guilty of all sorts of things, from data suppression to corruption and bribery. They're the criminals in multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar lawsuits. So Pfizer's this corporation that's profited more than anyone else from this COVID-19 scamdemic. They use their power to sway these government agencies and then defend and extend their patents and their profit positions. Now, the total sales from the Pfizer vaccine alone, just one of three here in the United States, is in excess of $30 billion year to date. And that's back in April. So it's even bigger now. And then Pfizer shares the profits with its profit company. That's the German one that actually had the FDA approval, but there's no vaccines available. Now, according to one financial journalist, and I quote, that would make it the second highest revenue-generating drug anytime, anywhere. For the love of money is the root of all evil, folks. That's what I keep saying. So now what's really disturbing about all this is that in the development and the launch of this, they received over $6 billion from the federal government in a contract to produce and roll out these vaccines. And then the German government added another $1 billion for additional research. So unlike a lot of corporations right now, outside of the connected few that are going to do their best to dominate the world, many businesses, mine included, we've suffered through this, yet Pfizer is making ungodly profits. There's some talk of $150 to $175 per dose. Now, Pfizer claims they have to do this to recoup research costs, but the federal government paid for most of that. Do you see what's going on here? Remember, money, the love of it, I should say, is the root of all evil. So I encourage you to go out and read this article for yourself. There's a lot more information in it. If you can't find it, email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com, and I'll send it out to you. So remember, like the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Then we've got the big Chinese real estate giant, Everbest, I think their name is, collapsing in a free fall, just like the Twin Towers in Building 7 did 20 years ago. Oh, yeah, that came down because an airplane hit it. And the entire building collapsed in a free fall manner in 10 seconds or less. Not one building, not two buildings, but three buildings. One that wasn't even hit by an airplane. But it contained all the financial goods of these people. Oh, wow. What a tangled web they weave, huh? And then did you hear this latest? Biden's pushing to have banks report any transaction over $600. So if you sell something at the antique mall for $700, offline, so to speak, so the person calls you and says, hey, I saw that table in there. You wanted $800 for it. Would you take $700? I'll write you a check. So they write you a check for $700. They come to your antique mall. They pick up the piece, and you run over to the bank with your $700 check. What Biden wants to do is have the bank report that transaction to the IRS. Now, you know, right now that limit is at $10,000, and they're pushing to drop it all the way to $600. So why do you think that is? Because they're control freaks, and the love of money is the root of all evil. But I'm looking at the clock here, and I'm running out of time, so we have to move on. And, of course, now in the show, it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Where are you, Henrietta? There you are. Now, for you new listeners, folks, this segment's all about prepping and survival. And, you know, we talk about growing beans and getting bullets and making sure we have our stash of Bibles. But there's also another thing that we have to talk about. And that's bullion. So today we're going to hit Henrietta with a red pill. Are you ready, Henrietta? Henrietta, where are you? Come on, where are you? Henrietta, where are you? There you are. There you are. Okay, okay, it's going to be a red pill, but you're going to be fine. Okay, come on, calm down. Henrietta, we're going to talk about gold and silver. You can't eat it, but you can get food to eat with it. Now, I encourage all of you to take the available cash you have, some of it, a nice portion of it, and go to one of the Golden Gal shops or one of the places that have the sign out front, we buy gold and silver, and go in there and do what's called over-the-counter spot buys. So these people have what's known as a walk-in trade, and you go in there, and you have to be equipped. You have to know what the going price is for the various materials, and you can get that online at places like Kitco.com and Providence.com. So you'll see what the ask and buy prices are. And then you're equipped to know whether you're getting a fair deal. But you can buy these things locally. And I think it's very important because there's so many of us, including many Christians and red-pilled, awakened Americans who have been duped by the enemy on what money is and how to save it, and how to secure it, and how to properly spend it. So let's get ready to see why it's so important to be red-pilled concerning money. Now, I'll play this little clip for you from The Matrix. It's a short portion of it, okay? And it's the red pill clip.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
So, folks, that's all I offer you here is the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. So are you ready to be red-pilled about money? Let's get started with answering the question concerning what the difference is between this term currency and money. You know, the lexicon in America has been diminished radically. We don't understand the difference between words anymore, words like currency and money, freedom and liberty, a democracy and a republic. So what is currency? Well, today all currency is what's known as fiat money or fiat currency. A little bit more on that later. And we've been getting into that with Stephen Jacobson's short clips on Wake Up America. So the fiat currency is what 99% of all the people think money is. And that's why this whole blockchain technology known as Bitcoin is such a threat to the system. So fiat currency is a medium of exchange, although it's illegitimate. It's a unit of account. In other words, it's got numbers on it. Portable, it's durable, it's divisible, you can make change. And it's what's known as fungible. So it's interchangeable. You could trade $1 for another, but that doesn't get you much. Because fiat currency is simply paper. It's funny money. This paper money, it's a tool for trading your time. Okay? Now the sad thing is, your time, the value of your time never diminishes in value, yet your compensation for it does. For example, if you hid it under your mattress, a $20 bill, and then you died and your children come along, they clean out your house and they find that $20 bill, and you happen to do that back in 1930 or 33 when FDR took all the money away, you would have been given a $20 bill for your 1 ounce gold coin. And back then, you could have bought a suit with that 1 ounce gold coin. But today, try buying a suit with that $20 bill. You can't. So you've been robbed. Fiat currency is simply paper. And that paper money is funny money. It is, folks.
Paper money, bogus money, it's been proven throughout history. It deceives you while it bleeds you, as it leads you down to tyranny.
So one of the biggest problems we have right now is that our currency, which we fuse for money, has no intrinsic value whatsoever. That's the biggest problem. That's the root of all evil right now. So the government can just print more money and more of it whenever they want to, whenever they need it. There's no accountability, and that's the problem. So this puts more worthless paper in circulation, which in turn means that it takes more of this funny money, this paper money, this worthless paper to buy something like a car or a pound of hamburger. The bottom line, folks, is that fiat currency is constantly losing value. And this dilution of the buying power of fiat currency is why I'm encouraging all of you out there, you too, Henrietta, while you're getting your beans, your bullets, and your Bibles, to make sure you get some bullion, folks. So if you think that you can store your wealth from all your hard labor over the years in a savings account down at your local bank, and okay, you save at the credit union. That's better in some ways, but it's still funny money. You've been hoodwinked. You've been gaslighted. And that's because your real purchasing power is constantly being reduced as we hear about all these trillion-dollar bills, these spending bills that are coming out left and right. Think about it like this. Back when I was a little boy, 5 or 6 years old, I remember my dad pulling to the gas station, and it used to say 27.9. Gasoline was 28 cents a gallon, folks. So let's just round it off to a quarter. And back then, a quarter was made out of real silver, and a dollar was defined as 0.715 troy ounces. So at today's spot price, that silver quarter is worth about $3. And guess what? That's just about what I paid for a gallon of gasoline yesterday at Sheetz. Now, if you tried that after 1968, when all the silver was taken out of the coins and the silver certificates were abandoned. You know, you used to be able to go to the bank with a dollar bill and give it to the teller, and she'd give you a silver dollar in return. Now, if you took that silver dollar today and tried to buy 4 gallons of gas, the attendant at Sheetz would look at you funny. Or that quarter that you hold in your pocket today,
isn't worth the quarter from 1964. It's been devalued. In other words, it's lost purchasing power. In other words, they stole from you. Now, over time, there have been thousands of currencies, and all these fiat currencies, the ones not backed by bullion, gold and silver, they've all gone to zero, every single one. Folks, it's 100% failure rate for fiat currencies, and that's where we're headed. So, you know, we've got these elected, quote-unquote, if you believe we have fair and free elections, we've got these elected officials that are now using this funny money to fund their agenda to destroy America. And I'm not joking, folks. It's literally happening left and right. We've got some real losers in there. How about AOC? Did you know she auditioned for her position? She was auditioned by a group called Justice Democrats. They had a casting call, and they were looking for the most electable person. You know, a TV show character, so to speak. And they looked at over 10,000 applicants. And this dolt who's clueless about history, constitutional government, and just about anything else, she was a bartender, for God's sake. She has virtually no intellect, yet the media calls AOC this up-and-rising leader of the Democratic Party. I can't even talk about this without losing my composure. So this Democratic Congresswoman, AOC, told an audience at the South by Southwest conference that we should not be fearful of automation replacing jobs en masse. And I want to give you a direct quote. She said, capitalism is based on scarcity. And what happens when there is enough for everyone to eat? What happens when there is enough for everyone to be clothed? Then you have to make scarcity artificial. And that is what has happened. We have created artificial scarcity, and that is why we are being driven to work 80 hours a week when we are being our most productive at any point in American history. We should be working the least amount we've ever worked if we were actually paid based on how much wealth we're producing, but we're not. We're paid on how little we're desperate enough to accept, and then the rest is skimmed off and given to a billionaire. Now, that may surprise you, and there is a grain of truth in there, but that's some truth, not all the truth. Yes, we're incredibly productive. We sell a pound of fiberglass for essentially what we sold it for 25 years ago, yet the value of the dollar is worth much, much less. But that productivity, along with the dollars linked to oil, thank you, Richard Nixon, is the only thing that's keeping us away from hyperinflation right now. So if that fiat currency, that funny money, is not manipulated, we're going to have a free fall. Okay? So that's currency. So what is money? Well, true money, bullion, is a store of wealth. It maintains its purchasing power over a long period of time. It's a medium of exchange, a unit of account. It's portable, durable, fungible, just like currency. But where it's different is you can't print it. You have to mine it to refine it. And over the millennia, both gold and silver have been very good in that regard. They enable us to store large amounts of wealth, and it creates this stability in the supply chain. In fact, only gold and silver have maintained their purchasing power over the last 5,000 years. Now, I know we have blockchain technology right now with Bitcoin, but it hasn't survived the test of time. So it has many of the other elements of true money, like gold and silver. It exists in a limited quantity, just like gold and silver. There's a finite amount of it, and it takes work on the computers to mine it. But it simply does not have the track record of bullion right now. That's why I'm encouraging all of you, and you, Henrietta, to get some bullion. Now, politicians, they can go and outlaw it, but I don't think they will, because they've been handed the key to the printing press, and I don't think they're turning back. Now, in economics, there's this law. It's called Gresham's Law, and this is a monetary principle stating that bad money drives out good money, and that's what you see happen. And so, You know when you get some change and you look at your change and you see a wheat penny in there? Well, that's good money because that's pure copper. And you know that penny's worth more than a penny. When you see a pre-64 quarter, dime, half dollar, silver dollar, people snatch it and take it out of circulation. Why? Because of Gresham's law. Bad money drives out good money. And you can read about that. There's all sorts of papers out there. The Von Mises Institute is a good place to learn about this. But folks, I've looked at the clock and I am rambling on here and I'm running out of time. Right now, it's time for our Hopium Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepared to get high on Hopium. You know, I do have shreds of hope. I see these reporters that are turning whistleblower. We had so many of those, and I should put a list together of all these people. Then we had the rapper Tom McDonald and RC rapper Just Say No. We played that clip a few weeks ago. And then how about Nicki Minaj? She's all over. So I put this report in the Hopium Report because perhaps, just perhaps, maybe, just maybe, the tide is turning. Okay? So there's this rocker. His name is Dave Mustaine, and he's the guitarist in Megadeth, and it's a heavy metal group that he's now. I've heard that Dave Mustaine has become a Christian, and he's certainly awakened. He's red-pilled. And this was at a recent concert in New Jersey just a few days ago. And I want to give you a profanity warning, folks. This minute and 42-second clip does have some profanity in it. But listen to Megadeth Rocker. Just listen to what he has to say.
I just want to tell you how great it is. Look around you guys. Look to your right. Look to your left. Look how wonderful this is. We're all here together. We're not in fucking bags. You know, we're not picking out and we're not yelling at people.
Where's your fucking mask?
But listen, it starts with this kind of a sensation that we feel right now. We feel together, we feel like, you know, let's start the numbers. We feel like we are invincible. People will not be able to stop us. See, the thing right now that's going on is tyranny. This is all tyranny. Look at that from Bitcoin. And tyranny, this is only in government. Tyranny right now is in the schools, and tyranny is in the medical business. So, yes, look at that. We have the power, especially us, those that are United Heavy Metal fans. We have the power to change things. You know, if you look what happened in the Middle East right now, I said it a long time ago with this next song, Holy Wars.
There you have it, someone else waking up. It's so refreshing to hear someone talk like that. So what did he say? Tyranny is in the schools. We have the power to change this. And then he alluded to the song that he was just getting into for his final song of the concert. And that was a song he did with Megadeth called Holy War. Brother will kill brother, spilling blood across the land, killing for religion, something I don't understand. Fools like me who cross the sea and come to foreign lands, ask the sheep for their beliefs. Do you kill on God's command? A country that's divided surely will not stand. My past erased, no more disgrace, no foolish, naive stand. The end is near, it's crystal clear, part of the master plan. Don't look now to Israel, it might be your homelands. Holy wars, upon my podium as the know-all scholar, down in my seat of judgment, gavels bang, uphold the law. Up on my soapbox, a leader out to change the world. Down in my pulpit, a as the holier than thou could be messenger of God. And it goes on to basically say everything that's going on right now in our culture. Isn't that crazy? So anyways, folks, right now, time for our Absurdian report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
So, I put this next story in the Absurdian Report because of its utter dismissiveness. And I'm referring to the dismissiveness of the fake news. You know, we talked earlier in the show about their dismissiveness of the audit findings out of Arizona. Well, there's another place where they're being utterly dismissive. And that's concerning this La Palma volcanic eruption out in the Canary Islands off the coast of Africa. So if you haven't been living under a rock, you probably heard about the volcanic eruptions over there in the East Atlantic. And this evacuation is massive now. I mean, the island is literally a lava flow, and there's earthquakes, and it's a pretty serious situation right now. Yet few from the legacy media have ever mentioned even the possibility of a tsunami. Now, here's one example of how they did cover it. So when the fake news covers it, the possibility there could be a tsunami, what they do is they ask it as a question. Will La Palma volcanic eruption cause mega tsunami on the East Coast? No, officials say. This is out of Newsweek.com. It was published on September 20th by Robert Lee. And it basically goes on to tell you all the facts. Yes, a volcano has erupted on the Spanish Canary Island of La Palma. And it's prompting unfounded fears that a so-called mega tsunami could be headed to the east coast of the United States. Well, folks, this is a legitimate concern. Yet they go on to say, don't worry. Everything's okay. Now, if that's true, then why did the BBC air this documentary about 13 years ago? And this Newsweek article says that all the information from a 2001 research report raising the concern of a tsunami hazard, and this was published in the Science of Tsunami Hazards, was basically dismissed in another paper in 2002. Yet in, what would 13 years ago be? That would be 2008. The BBC aired this broadcast, which Ty Green picked up on his channel, and I would like to play Ty Green's clip where he has embedded some of this, and I have to find it here, sorry, should be coming up, and it's not, Ty Green. Okay, so here I have a 5-minute clip of Ty Green talking about the La Palma eruption and the BBC documentary on the potential tsunami. So just listen to this, and let's apply some common sense.
Shalom, everyone. This is Ty Green. I want to talk about La Palma. Are millions more at risk as the volcanic eruption unfolds in La Palma? I'd like to draw your attention to the worst case scenario that geologists warned about years ago. Folks are watching this closely, and if it warrants an evacuation of the coastal cities in the United States or parts of Europe, the geologists have warned that there may not be enough time between an imminent evacuation order and folks getting to safety. Let's remember to pray for those impacted during these type of events, as any one of these could happen where we live. I want you to see that geologists have been making predictions about La Palma for some time now. And here's a couple of clips of what they believe could happen in the worst case scenario.
As the forces within the volcano built up to the point where they will begin to overcome the friction forces holding the flank in place, the flank will begin to move towards the sea.
And then at some point, the rock will fail on a major scale. And this huge chunk of rock, maybe 20 kilometers long or more, will start to slide into the sea.
The waves initially here would be many hundreds of meters high, and those waves would all be moving out into the ocean, spreading out laterally, but with a lot of the energy heading across the Atlantic towards the coast of the Americas.
Looking down on it, it'll look unbelievable. It'll look as if the island is falling apart, generating these huge waves which are fanning outwards to reach the eastern coast of the United States.
So during a worst-case scenario, this tsunami would travel to the east coast of the United States. Now, listen to the estimated time it would take to reach our shores.
The waves would take about 8 hours to travel between here and the coast of America. Just enough time to get the message out to warn people that this event was happening. But unless evacuation plans were incredibly efficient, it would not be enough time to get everybody out of the affected areas.
See, approximately an 8-hour warning. For those of us on the East Coast, this is a good time for us to evaluate our plans of evacuation. As a matter of fact, everyone all over should have a plan for these sudden events, as we expect more of these to increase as we transition into the tribulation. Now remember, those of us in Christ will not be here for the tribulation, yet we're experiencing the transition into it. So be prepared.
The areas at risk include cities like Miami, parts of Boston, the coastal areas and suburbs of New York.
Now, when he says New York and showed the Statue of Liberty, I immediately thought of all the countless folks sharing dreams where New York was underwater or severely flooded. I also thought about this. This is a snapshot from the I Pet Goat 2 film, where the base of the Statue of Liberty is under water. We can't help but think this. I mean, we've seen it in films over and over.
We're standing on the beach in what is presently Miami. The very first effect you'd probably see is what we call drawback. The ocean would suddenly just pull away. You'd see a tide, a low tide like you've never seen before in your life. It would be actually spellbinding. But in the background, you'd be seeing this wall, and it would keep coming at you.
Be the biggest natural catastrophe in history.
And there you see some city underwater. Just be prepared and don't ignore this. If it gets worse, the warnings may not provide enough time.
It is absurd. It's so sad seeing so many people ignorant on this subject, and then they may hear about it and they just go online to one of the legacy news sites like Newsweek and they read that absurd report, and that's why it's under the Absurdian report. And then they say, oh, there's nothing there. Let's go back to sleep. These people are unable to do critical thought. They're unable to realize the size of this chunk that's sitting there that might slide into the ocean and cause this mega tsunami. You know, what you see above sea level is like the iceberg. Most of that landmass is below the sea line. So the same people that say that iceberg's not that big are the same people that fail to realize that 90% of the iceberg is underwater. And that's the same thing with this bit of island that they're talking about showing cracking. You know, folks, since the last eruption in 1949, that portion of the landmass has actually slipped 13 feet. It's already unstable and could very well slide into the ocean because of a couple factors. One is vapor pressure from the heated groundwater as the lava is coming up. It could be pushing the landmass up, kind of dislodging it more. And then when that vapor pressure is gone, it'll slide down and it may not catch itself again. And that could trigger a landslide. Folks, do you really think all this just happened overnight? This is a geological process that's been going on for hundreds and thousands of years. Now we just had 8 days of quakes. And then a night of lava. And now this lava is flowing massively. The amount of lava that's still underneath is orders of magnitude greater than what we see in all these clips. And then the earthquakes, they're very concerning too because they could shake it loose. And these tremor sequences, they started back on September 11th. And the experts are saying it might, quote unquote, blow up. But probably not for another 1,000 years. Now, as things accelerate, the experts start to change their wording and they say things like, well, it might erupt, but not for weeks, judging on the depth and intensity of the quakes. So what I believe we see happening here is can down the road, you know, oh, there's nothing here, move on. Yet the locals are showing these videos of these cracks forming along this fault line. So, yes, the probability may be low right now, but the potential for disaster is huge, and we ought to at least be aware of it. So either a powerful eruption in the coming days or another tremor or this vapor that I told you is building up underwater as this lava hits the sea, any of these things can shift the landmass and trigger this event. Now, if the landslide and tsunami is a 1 in 100,000 chance, like Newsweek and these other people say, I have to tell you it's much higher right now. And as each day passes, this probability rises. It doesn't diminish. Yet the media says, oh, nothing there. Go back to sleep. And that'll happen until the main eruption takes place. Now, we ought to call ourselves blessed if the lava doesn't cause an event like this to be triggered. We ought to call ourselves blessed if the quake doesn't cause an event like this to be triggered. And we ought to call ourselves blessed if this vapor pressure problem happening in the deep sea doesn't cause a shift. Yet the main eruption, which is yet to happen, is just that. It hasn't happened yet. And we won't know until it happens whether it's enough to destabilize this landmass that's in question. And folks, this entire narrative and how it's unfolding reminds me of that famous clip from the movie 2012 that was released back in 2008 or 2009, and it starred John Cusack. You remember the story? There was a worldwide geophysical team led by Dr. Adrian Hemsley investigating the effect of radiation on from solar storms on earthquakes. And did you know that's actually been correlated by Russian scientists, and they've actually developed technologies using HARP to trigger earthquakes. So there's actually talk out there right now that China and Russia could trigger the quake that would cause that landmass to slide. Yet this reminds me, everything I'm seeing right now concerning this absurd narrative concerning this La Palma eruption and the potential tsunami reminds me of this 1 minute and 34 second clip from the movie 2012. When they tell you not to panic, that's when you run.
This tough character I have portrayed in my film Hello?
Okay, stop what you're doing.
Jackson?
Listen to me. I've rented a plane. Pack up the kids. I'm going to be there in 5 minutes.
What are you talking about? We were going to do our regular Saturday. Noah has music at 2 and Lil has karate.
Not that we'd expect him to remember.
Take California is going down. Pack up the kids now.
They just got back. God, you sound like a crazy person. The governor just said we're fine now.
The guy's an actor. He's reading a script. When they tell you not to panic, that's when you run.
Wait, could you call me back when you calm down?
Mommy, why is daddy so crazy?
Finish your pancakes, Al Capone.
It seems to me that the worst is over.
So there you have it. Mommy, why is daddy acting crazy? Do you know how many people look at me and think I'm crazy? Folks, when they tell you not to panic, that's when you run. Folks, when they tell you that the stock market's fine, that's when there's a free fall. Folks, when they tell you, hey, the mRNA jab, it's completely safe. And then you have adverse reactions beyond anything that the VAERS system has ever reported. Folks, when they tell you the 2020 election had integrity and was the freest and fairest election of all history, that's when you have something like we have now, the Biden regime. And you know, his approval rating is now at 31%, and the inside talk is when it hits 30%, they're going to execute the 25th Amendment. And then look out, what are we going to get? Heels in the air, Kamala Harris, who got like, what, 1% or 2% of the primary votes? Nobody, not even the Democrats, wanted this woman. And when they tell you that getting back to normal is as soon as we all get vaxxed and we all wear our face masks, and then we start to see the new normal that's coming out, detention camps in Australia, and now Washington State has detention camps for the unvaxxed. You know, when they tell you that Bitcoin is bad, and then the World Economic Forum comes out with the going direct reset, and they're all going to try to do their own version of digital currency, which is nothing like a blockchain technology. Folks, when they tell you not to panic, it's time to run. But now it's time for Ken's Corner.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, those of you who have been listening for years know that I've studied secret societies for decades, and we've covered a lot of that information here, from the Freemasons to the Illuminati to the curse of Canaan that goes all the way back to Genesis and the beginning of his story. We've even talked about Charles Darwin's occult connections through his granddaddy, Erasmus Darwin, and the Royal Society of London and their occult doctrine of on becoming. In fact, that was the genesis of the entire creation versus evolution debate and this whole narrative that we kind of evolved from pond slime. You know, the monkey mythology. And that's the technocrat's dream of singularity, folks. The fusion of man and machine. And that gets me going when I see even the Ice Age farmer getting in on it. So I have this clip right now from the Ice Age farmer. It was a recent clip he did. And he was actually talking about these technocrats. And let me see if I can find that clip. Ice Age farmer. This is a good one. We have to find it. And it's not coming up. So give me 1 second here, because I do want to play this one. It is called, excuse me for this, folks. If you know me, you know that I'm content rich. So no soul. Let's see if we can get it with no soul. There it is. Ice Age Farmer, Technocrats, and No Soul. This is a 2-minute and 6-second clip from the Ice Age Farmer. Folks, he's even awakening to the occult plan. Listen to this.
And I'll talk more about that in a future video, but not now, because it's more important that we really underscore the bottom line of what's going on. And at its absolute core, what that is not about food. It's not about vaccines. It's about whether or not you have free will. It's about whether or not you have a soul. Because in the minds of those who seek to rule us, we do not. But don't take it from me. Listen.
That if you have enough data and you have enough computing power, you can understand people better than they understand themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you can manipulate them in ways which were previously impossible. Mm-hmm. And in such a situation, the old democratic system stopped functioning. We need to reinvent democracy for this new era, in which humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me, so whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over.
Yeah, those are things of the past. And I'll play the full quote here in a second so you have the context. This is Dr. Yuval Harari, who has given talks at Google and with Mark Zuckerberg and multiple times at the World Economic Forum. Sometimes he is a bit of a mishmash with the singularity, but you hear this underlying idea that the idea that humans have a free will or have a soul is no longer in the question. Right now, we rule you. This is a constant theme from technocrats. Indeed, Edward Bernays said, quote, if we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their even knowing about it? He poses it as sort of a rhetorical question, but not anymore. Now it is a...
So there you have it. Even the Ice Age Farmer is waking up. Now, folks, did you know that this awakening is also part of their occult plan? You know, they have an occult doctrine known as lesser magic or white magic. It's the revealing of their plan to the masses. Do you remember the movie Contagion? We played it back on May 22nd, and Cusack was the star in that one, too. He was playing his alter ego, Bill Gates. Listen to this clip where they basically use the series. I guess it was a series on Netflix. Terry and I watched it earlier in the year. And they have a disclaimer, this has nothing to do with the current pandemic. Yeah, right, it's predictive programming, listen to it.
Your father created a world-changing, not world-ending, a world-changing, world-improving omnivirus. And we have taken that virus and embedded it in the vaccine of the Sturge flu.
I knew it.
Created a panic, and now everybody's begging for the vaccine.
No. Demanding it with all the entitlement of a first world country.
Yes. And now we have exactly what we want. Hundreds of millions of Americans lining up, offering us their arms, and letting us give them our creation.
I'm pretty sure when every vaccinated person starts dying, they'll trace back to undetectable virus or not.
You've all been very busy. You're all very sharp. Are you sure none of you would like to come and work for me? No? Better than dying a terrible, violent death. Then understand this. What we are doing is far bigger than death.
Wait. This virus is not deadly.
It looks pretty damn deadly.
Tell me this. What have you done today to earn your place in this crowded world? Exactly. Everything I do is a cure for our current situation.
But how's it a cure if
you're killing people?
I told you it does not kill. That was the amazing epiphany we had. We didn't have to kill to accomplish our goal.
What?
stop human reproduction for three generations. The busy, endless global assembly line of babies will grind to a halt.
You're sterilizing people?
Uh-huh. In the first 5 years, we'll start to see major birth rate declines as teenagers vaccinated stay at their childbearing years.
You're controlling the future of human civilization.
Folks, there you have it. That's predictive programming. But more on that next week. Right now, it's time for Back to the Future. And in this segment, we take something old and bring it back to the future. And this week, folks, we're talking about brainwashing in China. The calculated destruction of men's minds by Edward Hunter. Now, he wrote this book back in the late 50s, and it's available on Amazon, so you can find it out there. And the material was gathered in the Far East and Southeast Asia during the 50s, 1950, 1951. And his question was, how do you create the perfect state, one in which the public school is docile, believing, and obedient? Education is important. And we've talked about that before. Lenin said, give me one generation of your children, and in that generation, I'll capture the nation. You know, Darwinism and Darwinism goes so far beyond biological evolution as a theory. There's social Darwinism, and we talked about Herbert Spencer's social Darwinism and the theory of a class society. You know, they basically believe that man has no soul. He's merely an intelligent animal. But that tells me they don't understand what a soul is. A soul isn't your spirit. The Bible tells us that the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, which gives light to your soul, which has three components to it: your mind, your willpower, and your emotions. And we have to guard our heart, which is also another way of saying our soul, because in it comes the abundance of life. So the soul is the link between the spirit realm and the body. Yet they want us to be nothing more than an intelligent animal without a soul. And by the way, folks, animals have souls. They don't have spirits. Think about it. Animals can think. Animals have emotions. And animals also have a determined willpower. Did you ever see a fox trying to get into a chicken coop? That's willpower, folks. So what Mr. Hunter says in this book that textbooks were not needed for education, as notebooks filled with students' thoughts would act as textbooks. And then he also mentions how sleep deprivation was used and a constant thirst for hunger. You know, I should say a constant thirst and hunger and constant observation. This all created the proper conditions to create the good citizen. And that's what they did in China. And then he asks another question. How does the good worker get to a point where they demand longer hours of work for less pay? Well, the diet is the best way to accomplish that. Starve them. So by 1950, eggs were considered a bourgeois idea of enjoyment. An egg, folks, the incredible edible egg. And then you have to have police visit at any time, day or night, to facilitate harmony. So the book goes on and talks about this thought control process. There's education, and then the adoration of the people's army, and the singing of folk songs as the enemy is slaughtered, and anti-American and anti-Western European propagandas done. Critical race theory, folks. And then they destroy the marriage. That was another component of the mind control in China. And the redefinition of democracy. Isn't that what's happening here? We're a constitutional republic, folks, yet now we're being called a democracy. And what did Stalin or Lenin? Democracy is indispensable to socialism, and we need more democracy. Now, as I read through this book, it occurred to me that what happened to China after World War II happened in Europe and is now exactly what's happening in America through this scamdemic. For example, the mass media. They hype up this whole anti-God Darwinist thinking, you know. They corrupted marriage, and now marriage, oh, let's not even go there. And then our form of government has evolved into democracy, which involves agreeing with whatever the secret meetings of the Bilderbergers want the media to tell you. And if you disagree, you're some kind of demon and a hater. And then the capitalistic system is under this tremendous strain, and we talked about why that is. And this book gives a vision of the future that's terrifying, folks. So how do we apply it to the freaky deaky news? Well, I'm going to do something different this week. That's your homework assignment for this week. Email me. Tell me how you see parallels to what I brought back to you from the past. Show me how it's happening right now in the future. That's your assignment, folks. So just pick a news article and send it to me at kdbear1961@gmail.com and show me how this is happening today in America. But now, folks, it's time to change gears. And to be quite frank with you, there's a lot of stinking thinking out there about money. In fact, most people don't even understand the difference between the words of money and currency like we talked about during Coop Talk with Henrietta. And as I've discussed in the past in many of the red pill moments on these shows, it's a large part, it's in a large part due to the public, or should I say government brainwashing system that's leading us all in lockstep to the Luciferian New World Order. So let's look at what the Bible has to say about the love of money. And let's take a red pill and see what Satan and his minion have done to this important tool that's so essential to all civilized living. Well, first off, we can learn a lot about somebody's attitude and character in their heart by looking at their relationship with money. Plus, I'd like to say that the Bible is the truth on this matter. But there's a lot of deception out there. So let's see what the Bible has to say about money. Now, people have all sorts of wrong ideas about money. Like I said, stinking thinking abounds out there about money. Some people think money brings happiness, but it doesn't. Now, you can buy almost anything you want with money except happiness. And money, if you have enough of it, can take you anywhere, call of Mount Everest, to the furthest reaches of the South Pacific, all the way to Antarctica if you have enough money. You know, if you have about $40,000, you can buy a cruise ticket on a cruise liner that'll take you to Antarctica. But there's one place money can't get you, and that's to heaven. Think about it. Even now, money can take you to outer space, or should I say inner space. And oh, by the way, just a little breakaway thought program for, let's take 2 minutes here, okay? Now let's do a critical thought exercise. You've seen all the news over the past couple weeks about the astronauts, Jeff Bezos, and Elon Musk and their launches of the civilians up into outer space. You know, they've gone even 100 miles higher than the International Space Station. Okay, so let's stop and think about this for a minute. Are these people truly in outer space? Now, if we go back to the narrative from the Apollo missions, we know that the moon is about 250,000 miles away from planet Earth, or that's what they tell us, okay? So let's take a piece of paper, just a standard 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. On the very bottom of that paper, draw a line. And let's allow that to be the surface of the Earth. And at the very top of the line, draw another line. And then draw a 10-inch vertical line between the bottom horizontal line and the top line. And let that 10 inches represent the distance from the surface of the Earth to the surface of the moon. Okay? Let's just talk for a minute about how high astronauts actually were. Well, these astronauts were 0.014 of an inch off the surface of that bottom horizontal line. So let's put that in perspective. You have this line that's 10 inches long from the bottom of your sheet to the top of the sheet. And the Apollo astronauts back in 1960s traveled that incredible distance with technology in terms of computing power that was about what you had on a handheld calculator, with materials that were nowhere near as advanced as what we have today with composites and these melding of materials like metals and fiberglass. There's all sorts of things happening with that. Yet we're led to believe that in 50 years since man landed on the moon, the highest they can get off the surface of the earth now is about the thickness of a human hair. So, if you're a critical thinker, something's wrong here, folks. Either we didn't go to the moon, or man has been a lot further out than 350 miles. And by the way, that's as high as the space shuttle and the International Space Station. In fact, they orbited about 250 miles. So there's a little example of critical thinking. But let's apply this to money, okay? So some people think money will buy happiness, which it won't. Others say it'll bring security, but it doesn't. And others say it's sinful, but it isn't, folks. Like I said, it's a necessary tool in a civilized society, and I say that over and over. Use money like any other tool. Sure, you can hurt yourself with a hammer or cut yourself with a knife, but they're both essential tools, and so is money. The truth is that the Bible doesn't say that money's the root of all evil. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The bottom line here, folks, is that there's a lot of deceptions out there about money, what it is, and what we ought to be doing with it. Plus, we get into a lot of disagreements over money. Remember, you hear people say, never talk about money, politics, or religion. Well, those are the things you should be talking about. And we get criticized more and more over money matters than just about anything else. Think about it. People are called different things based on how they handle money. Term miser, well, that's because of how you handle money. Or a playboy, or you're money mad, or maybe you're called a parasite, a gold digger. Or maybe you're the sugar daddy. Plus, there's so many studies out there that have shown that money's the source of almost 90% of all family arguments. In fact, did you know that our spirituality can be measured by money more so than just about anything else? Now, you may be scratching your head right now and saying, what? How can I measure my spirituality by money? Well, that's because the biblical principles of stewardship are all tied to money. Think about it. Our stewardship is evidence of both how we spend our time and our money and how God makes men real men. Think about these things, folks. There are so many lies out there concerning money and matters of money, but God has it all spelled out in his word, doesn't he? So the love of money is the root of all evil. And before we wrap this up, okay, and I encourage you, if you just got on, to go back to the Henrietta section with the Coop talk, and I red-pilled y'all back there concerning this. But let's quickly look at what God says about money and why God's so interested in money. Oh, and I just saw a few more people pop on. I know it's late, but a shout out to all of you out there. God looks at how we save our money. That's the first thing he does. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as if it were fire. Yea, ye have escaped, and ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. So now, God's not saying you shouldn't save money. What he's saying is you shouldn't treasure up money or make it a collection like other things. Like some people collect baseball cards, others collect cars, and some people keep score by how much money's in their bank account. Oh, I just saw Alec. Shout out to Alec. I see you popped up from Iowa. We talked about Alec last week on the show. I hope everything's going with your new job. But folks, my point here is that I don't want you to confuse the prudent saving of money with the reckless saving or the reckless heaping of money. You know, the Bible says to go to the ant and be wise, Proverbs 6:6. You know, the ant saves a certain amount of time, a certain amount of stuff for the future, but we see the grasshopper just living life. And, you know, in the red pill segment I did with Henrietta, we red pilled Henrietta today, folks. We see that Satan's corrupted our money system and confused the meaning of money and currency. You know, the Bible talks about leaving an inheritance. So we don't want to be like that reckless grasshopper. We want to be like that industrious ant. And we want to save up some money, but we don't want to heap it up. So Remember, Satan takes anything that God has and he corrupts it. So saving money's good. Heaping up money's bad. And that's the, it's a satanically inspired Marxist mindset that makes people hate wealth. Wealth in and of itself isn't bad. So God doesn't contemn wealth. In fact, the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. So God wants his people to be wealthy. In Genesis 3:15-2 says, and Abram was a very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And King David, when he died, listen to how the Bible described him in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. You could read that for yourself in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 28. Folks, the Bible says both riches and honor come of thee. 1 Chronicles 29:12. So unlike what the Marxists are trying to drive in your head, like what Cortez AOC said, and I read that quote, and these Green Deal Democrats and wackos in the Biden administration, you shouldn't be condemning wealth. David, King David, wasn't condemned for dying wealthy and with honor. The Word of God actually commended him. And don't forget Joseph of Arimathea, the disciple of Jesus, who the Bible describes as a rich man in Matthew 27, verse 57. So the Bible warns us against hoarding or heaping up money or treasuring money, but it doesn't tell us to go around poor and in rags. In other words, sure, you can be wealthy, but you have to understand that there's a perspective to that, and you don't want to make it the be-all and end-all. And when you do, that's loving money for money's sake. And the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. So when you have an inordinate amount of love for money, that's what the Bible condemns. You know, you may have heard this before, but a bell isn't a bell until you ring it. And a song's not a song until you sing it. And love's not love until you give it away. And joy isn't really joy until you share it. And likewise, folks, wealth isn't really wealth until you spend it. So the point here is, folks, it's not about keeping score on some ledger that, you know, I've got $1 million on account. No, it's doing no good sitting there. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 13, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to be hurt. In other words, we can keep money and it's going to hurt us. And that's what James was talking about in that thing I read out of James 5, verses 1 through 3. But we can heap our treasures upon heaven when we take our wealth and spread it around, when we take our wealth and help others, when we take our wealth and use it to wake up America. So how do we secure money? Well, I just alluded to it there. The Bible says in James chapter 4, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Now, what's that mean? Well, plain and simple, God is against gain that's wrongly gotten and against those who oppress the poor in acquiring their wealth. And that's what's happening right now with the 1%, folks. Now, these biblical principles I've shared with you are all important to understand. And as we saw in the Red Pill segment back with Henrietta, they've been destroyed and distorted by the dark powers and the Luciferians in this lost and fallen world. And I'm running out of time here, folks. You can catch it on the archive, but we're going to lose time here in about 60 seconds. So how do we spend our money? Well, the Bible says in James 5:5, ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton, and ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. So God's talking there about those who have taken pleasure and have done what they wanted with their money for pleasure and pleasure's sake alone, and that in itself is wrong. So those who spend their money selfishly are shaking their fist at God. Instead, we ought to be using it as a blessing for others and lavish upon it upon them, not ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong. God's not against rightful and legitimate pleasure. He's against wantonness, selfishness, wastefulness. So God's not against us having pleasure. He wants us to have pleasure. God says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither in shadow or in turning. James 1, verse 17. The Bible says that God hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So you can read that in the scriptures around it in Psalm 35, verse 27. Folks, the bottom line is God wants you and me to enjoy the things of this world, and he wants you to know that those people with wicked hearts, those evil people out there, are the source of all evil because they love money. So God's not against it. God's not against the rightful and legitimate pleasure that can come from money, but God is dead set against people that are selfish and that heap it upon themselves and have this wanton lust to get more and to take it from you and me. And the wastefulness, oh, the wastefulness, $80 billion of military assets in the hands of the Taliban now. That's what God doesn't want. But God wants you and me to prosper. God wants you and me to be victorious. And God wants you and me to take this wealth and to spread it around and to get the word out. So this week, folks, remember that you need to take what you've been blessed with and use some of it to spread the word and help wake up America. And in the words of Winston Churchill, never give in. Never, never, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
Now, as you go out there this week, you may be thinking, oh, I can't do this. I just can't do it. Well, yes, you can, folks. You can do it because that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, that same power, the Holy Spirit of our Most High God, he lives in you and me. I love you all, folks, and I'll be back next week, provided the Lord's willing.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to show a world that looks like there is no hope that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace, to stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus. Oh,